Let's turn to Hebrews. Let's start there today. That's our kind of our founding scripture here. Hebrews chapter 11. The great chapter of faith. Amen. Now as we read through further, there's great men of faith. Maybe we'll talk about some of them here in a minute. But we've been talking about the ABCs of faith. So I'm trying to keep it simple, best I know how. Hallelujah. How many know God's not as complicated as we can make him be sometimes? Amen. The Word of God is pretty clear. If we'll read what the Bible says and then begin to do what the Bible says do, we can have what the Bible says that we can have. Amen. Number one, we said A, the first thing is what is faith? And we begin to explore and say now, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we've been saying, so our faith, with faith, we can please God. Amen. Our faith helps us to please God. Now also, we read over here in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll get back to Hebrews 11 here in a minute. But Ephesians chapter 6, we've been reading verse 16. Now here he's talking about the armor of God and putting on that armor. And that armor put on is more than just, you know, saying I have, you know, but it's understanding what the Bible says. You know, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. That means I understand that Jesus became my righteousness. It's not my own righteousness, it was the righteousness of Christ. And when I understand that, I'm placing that armor which covers the vital organs of my heart and so forth. And so there's many here that he's likening many things to the armor of God. But here in verse 16, he said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So our faith, if we take that shield of faith, then it is our faith that helps to what? Protect us. Amen? So we see that we please God with our faith. We're using our faith to protect ourselves here. And also, we talked a little bit about the word taking. Now, if I'm going to take something, then I should see where it is or what it is. Amen? Hallelujah. How many know? If you take something, you want to know what it is, don't you? You don't just go up to the medicine cabinet and grab a bottle of something and take it. You want to see what it is. What is it? What's it going to do for me? How is it going to help me? So faith, you know, if he said to take the shield of faith, it must be recognizable. We must be able to tell what it is. Amen. Jesus recognized faith. We saw that in Mark chapter 5, remember? The woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I may touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. And Jesus felt the power go out of her. And he turned to her, he said, and she comes, she says, who touched me? And finally she came, fearing and trembling. Why? Because it was not supposed to be legal for her to go out in the public because she had an issue of blood. She was bleeding. And she was supposed to be crying out unclean, but they probably wouldn't be able to hear her over the mom anyway. But she said, I'm going. If I touch his garment, I'm going to be healed. She touched the hem of that garment and she was made whole. And God said, and they said, there's all kinds of people touching you, Jesus. There's all kinds of people around you. They're thronging you. They're all walking, and Jesus is walking, and I see that crowd following him, and she's trying to get to him, and she finally, probably down on her hands and knees, she says, oh, and maybe she, you know, slipped through somebody, got her hand through their legs or whatever, and touched that garment. Boom, she felt in her body. Boom. Whew. Just like that, she was healed. After 12 years, after going to the doctors over and over, after spending all that she had, after trying and trying to receive, she touched the Master. And he said, somebody touched me. Faith touched me. Faith touched me. Because he said, woman, thy faith has made you whole. Jesus recognized the faith when he saw it. And we also talked, remember, about the centurion. The centurion sent some servants to Jesus. Hey, go see if he'll come under my house. My servant's very sick. I want you guys to go get him. And he said, hey, he'll come under the house. He said, yes, I'll come. So they run back, and as Jesus is getting closer, the centurion sees that he's coming, and he sends others out there, and he said, you go tell him, speak the word only. He doesn't have to come under my house. I'm a man under authority. I know what authority is. You tell him to speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. And so they go out. I mean, I don't know how far away he was. Maybe he was, you know, a block or two or however far. He could see him coming. So they run out there, just speak the word only. And Jesus says to the crowd, I've never seen such great faith, not even in Israel. Because he was a Gentile, he was a Roman centurion, he knew it was not lawful. According to the law, he shouldn't come under his house. So he's saying, I'm not worthy. You shouldn't come under my roof. Just speak the word and my servant will be whole. He had recognized the authority of Jesus. And the centurion understood authority. And see, that's another subject we'll get to, hopefully, is authority. Because it works by faith. Amen. We use that faith can protect us. And of course we know in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. In other words, we conduct our manner of living by faith. Faith in who God is. Faith in what God has done. Hallelujah. But faith can help us then. It can protect us. It can please God. We can walk by faith. And of course, Hebrews 11, let's go back there. I'm going to stay there for a few minutes here. We obtain promises by faith. Hallelujah. But by faith, we live by faith according to 10:38. Hebrews 10:38, Hebrews 11, that's right, verse 33, I was correct. I was in the wrong chapter. Thank you, Lord. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of the lions. Through faith, they subdued the kingdom. By faith, we received promises. By faith, the lions' mouths were stopped. Daniel stopped the lion's mouth because he said, I believe my God. Why? I'm not going to stop serving God because of what they said, that I can't pray, that I can't seek God, that I can't go to church, that I can't do this or do that or do the other. I believe God. Daniel said, I'm going to keep praying. He went, the Bible says, opened his window at his house just like normal. They had already tricked the king into making some law, you know. If they pray, then they'll be put in the lion's den. Apparently, he's going to be punished. But the king was nervous. He said, oh, Daniel, does your king live? In the morning, he must have got up early, I bet. It was probably pretty early. And Daniel said, oh, king, live forever. My God has stopped the mouths of the lions. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just get ready, because God has the last word. Sometimes things may look like it's not going to be the way it is. Amen. Does it look like it's going your way, your direction? But how many know faith changes things? Daniel's faith changed some things, because the king then made the edict. Daniel's God is God. Amen. How many know sometimes governments, they can get in extremes? Amen. One extreme to another extreme. And we need to be praying. We need to keep praying. Amen. And see that Faith changes some things. So we see that we obtain promises, we protect ourselves, we walk by faith, we live by faith. Faith must be important. Amen. And it can be recognized. Jesus saw it. We can know what faith is. We said taking the shield of faith. It implies in order to take it, you've got to see what it is. You must know what it is. We must recognize it. And we went on to say, what is that faith? And when we look up the word faith, it means a persuasion. If you look it up in the Strong's. And if you look it up in Vines, he said a firm persuasion. And we can find that bears out in the Bible when we look over in Romans chapter 4, can't we? Remember, Abraham became fully persuaded. Are you fully persuaded this morning? Amen. Then you have faith. I'm trying to get people to see that they already have faith on the inside of them. Many times we have faith. We're just not realizing what it is. I am fully persuaded. Are you fully persuaded that Jesus rose from the grave? Amen. Are you fully persuaded that your name is written in heaven? Are you fully persuaded that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? That he's not going to change? That he's not a man that he would lie? Hallelujah. Are you persuaded, sister, that Jesus is the healer? Amen. Hallelujah. We can be fully persuaded, and yet we need to realize a little bit more for it to really work for us. Amen. Because when you hear about that, that's wonderful. I'm glad you're fully persuaded. And there's some people that are persuaded that Jesus is the Lord, but they have not yet what? Confessed it. They had faith, but their faith, we found out that faith can come, and that faith comes. That's the second one, right? First, we recognize what it is. It's that firm persuasion. Secondly, we realized that faith can come. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we said that faith and belief are really the same thing. It's used interchangeably many times throughout the Scripture. Hallelujah. And we know, hallelujah, that faith can come. When we have a need in any area of our life, such as healing, for example, we've talked a lot about that. But we'll talk more about healing. Hallelujah. It's important. You know, there's not that many things that affect our life, really. You know, you got what? Our faith with God. We've got our friends, our family. You know, you've got your finance, right? We've got, what else is there? There's some, you know, your entertainment or your fun. Hallelujah. Amen. And those are the things, really. I mean, there's not a, you know, if we make a little circle, that kind of encompasses most people's life. And so there's not that many things, but we need to know when we, whatever we face, amen, there's lack of peace. We realize, hey, I got a lack of peace in my life. How many know? Faith can come. Where does it come from? Knowledge of the Word of God is a beginning point. But it's not just knowledge of what God said. It's also what? Knowledge of who God is. Two kinds of knowledge that really produces faith in our heart. Because we can know what God said. But if we're not convinced, we're not fully persuaded that He will, have we really come to that place of faith yet? Amen. Come on now. It's true. Because if we don't know who God is, and we don't believe that He's faithful, and that He's a rewarder, that He's a giver, He's not a withholder, but it's who He is, and we can recognize that and believe that. Do you know who God is today? Do you realize that He is the faithful God? That He is the God that can be trusted? He is merciful. He is trying to get His truth, His promise to us, not to withhold it from us. Amen? Glory to God. We believe. So beliefs come our beliefs or our faith come by accumulation of knowledge of God's Word. As we see what God has said, and then we recognize and we experience who God is, who the Bible says He is, who He said He is, and we experience that. We get to know God. We spend what we call time with God. Time in worshiping God. Amen. We talked about worship. Why do we talk about worship? Because many times there's a fight to faith. Amen. Everybody says, well, it's just easy. Well, if you want something easy, you probably aren't fighting at all, because the Bible says that there's a fight to it. And the fight that we have is the fight of our emotions, the fight of the things that we see. How many know that when you have a sickness or disease and you've got pain, it speaks to you every day? More than once a day normally. Maybe you got that heart problem, you know, that keeps, every once in a while it flutters up. And you've got to face what's there, what seems to be there. We face the facts. The fact is, hey, my heart's not beating right. The fact is, I have pain. I hurt. These are facts. But how many know faith believes the truth? Because truth triumphs facts. You understand? Truth triumphs facts. You say, well, what do you mean, brother? Isn't it true that I have these symptoms? Those are facts. But the truth is that by His stripes you were healed. See, we have to decide that what God says, when we, acknowledge as truth what God has said, faith has come. When we acknowledge it as truth, and we take it as truth, but then we also have to realize who promised it. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, but more than one kind of knowledge. The knowledge of what God said, but also the character of God who said it. His faithfulness. His reliability. Remember, we looked at Numbers. He's not a man that He could lie. Amen. He cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. There are some things that are not possible for God. Well, oh, God can do anything. Nope, He can't. Sorry. He cannot lie. Impossible. Interesting, huh? Well, I thought God could do anything. Yeah, all things are possible with God. But He cannot go against His character because He has limited Himself by the boundaries that He set around Himself. Amen. He said, I'm not going to remember your sin anymore. He's got the ability to forget. He said, well, I can't seem to forget mine. Yeah, that's the whole key. We need to know that God forgives and we still remember. And we lose the pain of it because we believe. We become fully persuaded, like we sung about this morning, the blood. Do you believe there's power in that blood to cleanse? Do you believe that blood fully washed away those sins? Amen. This is good preaching. I know I'm just kind of going over what we've been doing, but I think it's important. I don't want to go so fast that we are not on track. See, we want to stay on what God is saying. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? By the Word of God. And knowing the promiser. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Now, we said also, we read several scriptures where faith can come very simply. Now, if you have someone here and they're not born again, we would tell them, Jesus died on the cross for your sin, For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. We would say that if you can believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross in your place, he was buried and he was raised from the dead, you too can be saved. Will you believe in your heart? Yes, I know that. I believe it. Will you confess with your mouth? Yes. Faith came and they were saved when what? They said. Amen. Let's go to Romans 10 now. I'm going to get into our message here for today because I want to talk a little bit about it. A lot of times, see, I was really, when I was a young person, I remember a guy that worked for my dad. And it always bothered me because I didn't know what to tell him. I really didn't. I mean, I was probably 12 or 13. And he says, well, you just believe, right? And I'm thinking, yeah, that's what we do. We believe. Yes, we believe. But down in my heart, I'm like, but you got to live for God. You got to, in other words, you have to show forth your faith in some way. The Bible says this, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth, everybody say mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. So it's good. We can believe. We need to believe. But see, the heart can believe. But if there's not a confession or a speaking forth with the mouth in some way or with that life in some way, he said earlier, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, a couple of verses down, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If there's no calling, if there's no confession, we could believe and not be saved. You know, like the lady that sings in the choir. She says, I believe. Well, that's wonderful. Have you ever confessed? You finally realized, I've never really confessed Jesus is Lord. I've never really given my heart to him with my words. My faith was not released. Jesus said this. He says, if you deny me before men, I shall deny you before my Father in heaven. I think words might be pretty important. How about you? You see, that is how faith, that's the third thing that we're working on. We know what faith is. It's what? That firm persuasion. We become fully convinced. We're fully persuaded. Secondly, we know, now just about everybody knows how faith comes. Many times they have trouble on what is faith. Well, faith is the substance. What is that substance? That substance is the Word of God, which gives us what? The ability to receive, to say, yes, that's the truth, period. The Word of God is true. I become fully persuaded because God has said it, and I know that he is faithful. He said he watches over his word to perform it. He said he cannot lie. He said that he's a rewarder and a giver. He will give to me when I ask. I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is well able. And we know that faith comes. Hallelujah. Many times it does come. But then faith must also be released. And we looked at that over in James chapter 2 several times. Amen. Let's go to James for a minute. Let's just look at that one more time and see where we saw it here in Romans, where faith had to be released with the what? The mouth. We confess what? Unto salvation. It's important what we say. When we agree with God. See, that's what he is saying. All right, let's go to James just for a minute. I'll get into that in just a second. I want to go to James. Hebrews and then James. Thank you. But in Hebrews, in James chapter 2, James verse, let's look at 14, starting 14. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" In other words, he's asking the question. He said, if there's no works with his faith, can his faith do him any good? Does it save him? What was the work we saw over in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10? What was the work? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart. Because what? The confession was made unto salvation. It was the release of what I believed. I believe that Jesus is Lord. Yes. Or you said, you come and you called on the name of Jesus. I call upon you, Lord. Jesus! One guy did that. He was overseas preaching, and guy came down to the altar, knelt down. He says, Jesus! Like three times. Jesus! You know, and the preacher went over there later, you know. Oh, brother. He said, you said that the Bible says if I call upon the name, I'll be saved. I called upon the name. And he just stood there. Preacher's like, well, you know, we need to really pray with you. We should pray you through. We, you know. He finally realized he became one of the most faithful saints in the church. Serving God. Loving God. Seeking God. He said, I realized I didn't believe my own preaching. What the Bible said. The Bible said, if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Now, if you've done that, see, a lot of people, they believe. But have you called? Have you confessed? Have you said, Jesus, be Lord of my life? Are you listening this morning? Faith had to be released, and that's what James is asking here. What does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith and has not works, can that faith save him? Oh, man, I am running out of time, but that's okay. We'll just pick it up later. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not, you don't give anything to them, those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? How does it profit that person? If they need a winter coat, and they say, can you give me one? And you say, well, I have great faith. Yep, brother, go be warmed and filled. And we do nothing. Then it has not profited anyone. In other words, he's saying faith has an action. And I'm saying the first action that faith normally has is the words that we speak. And you say, well, how do you know that? Why do you think that? Because of what James said. He said also, of course, in verse 16 there, that faith, you know, you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, we don't do anything. What does it profit? It profits nothing. Even so, verse 17, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 20 says, But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. If there's no accompanying action to what we believe, then what is it profiting you? I mean, if you have a brand new car, you know, and it sits in your driveway, and you never put the key, and you never turn the key, you don't ever drive it, it just sits there. Well, I have a brand new car. Well, can you come give me a ride to church, please? Well, what's wrong with you? They'll say, what's wrong with you? You have a brand new car. Oh, I know, but I just never touch it. I don't do anything with it. It just sits in my driveway. That's what I do. I go out and polish it once in a while. I make sure it's clean. Well, it sure is a nice looking car. Oh, yeah, I polish it once a week. I wash it. I clean it. Every once in a while, I even change the oil. Do you ever drive it? No, I don't drive it. I just let it sit in my driveway. I get rides all the time. And you'd be saying, what's wrong with this guy? What's wrong with him? Does he have a car? Yes. Is it profiting him? Not really, no. It's just taking up his time. He makes sure it's strong. He makes sure his car is in good shape. Takes care of it, you know. If the snowplow comes by, he wipes it off, you know. Makes sure no salt gets on it. No rust gets into it, you know. Even though he, you know, and maybe he covers it sometimes, you know. Well, it's been covered for a while, so I could, you know, take the cover off, polish it some more, you know, make it nice and fine, but he never drives it. We think he's nuts. Something wrong. It's not helping him. Well, brother, that car is nothing but a liability to you. You might want to get rid of it. You want to give it to me? No, not really. You know? But we would realize, hey, it's not benefiting, amen? So faith by itself alone is not beneficial. It must be accompanied with works. When we look into chapter 3, he said, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, he's talking about teachers and people directing the body of Christ, but how many know that you have a tongue too? How many have a tongue? Amen. He says, for in many things we offend all. If man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. So if you got a horse, everybody knows how a horse works. Put that little bridle in there so he can feel it, right? Pull back in the reins, he'll stop. Why? He learns. I better stop. He learns from that bridle that's in his mouth. And if we can bridle our tongue and bridle what we say, we can control our whole body. Words are important. Words release our faith. Words produce things. Hallelujah. They are the first action, really, with our faith. And sometimes that's all we need. Hallelujah. To be saved. Amen. Confess him as Lord. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto health and healing. With the mouth, confession can be made unto peace. Confession can be made unto joy. Now, I may have to put a little action in there. Anybody ever needed joy in your life? You know what the Bible says. The joy of the Lord is my strength. God's given me joy. It's part of my fruit of my human spirit. But I don't feel very joyful. How many know you can? Amen. Jesus, I believe you're the joy of my life. You, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I know that you gave me joy. Hallelujah. And you might just start dancing a little and you don't feel like dancing. But you're putting some action to your belief. What is your belief? What God said. Amen. He said, a merry heart does good like a medicine. Lord, you said a merry heart. Hallelujah. Choose a merry heart. You begin to dance about a little. You begin to shout. You begin to say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And pretty soon there's a song in your heart. You begin to sing. Say, oh, Lord has made me glad. The Lord has made me glad. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You make me glad. And pretty soon, what? The blues drive away. You drove them away. What? With your faith. It was an act that you did. It was something that you began to say because you believed what he said. I've chosen to believe what he said. What? Against my emotion. And that's what most of us face. We face our emotion. Emotions can be deadly to us. Man, I'm not even on my, hallelujah, that's okay. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Our mind, our will, our emotion, when we keep our tongue. I think our tongue, if we can get it hooked up to our beliefs, see, it will govern our life. Amen. When we agree with what God said, and that's what he meant there in Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our faith without wavering, for he that is faithful is promised. Amen. Because for he is faithful that promised. God is faithful that promised. Hold fast the profession. In other words, what he's saying there, when we talk about hold fast, it says in the Greek, saying the same thing. When we say the same thing that God says, we're holding fast. Amen. What has God said? He said that the peace of God that passes understanding shall mount guard over my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. He said, well, I got a lack of peace in my life. He said, he'll give peace to those whose mind is what stayed on thee. Perfect peace. Amen. Where is my mind, Lord? I say, I got my mind on you, Lord. I got my heart on you. I'm going to grab that peace and I'm going to stand. And I believe that you said the peace that passes understanding. It passes what my mind says. It passes what it looks like in the natural. You see? And we can stand and we can have peace because of whom we believed and because of what we see the Word says, and we begin to agree. I say the same thing that you say, Lord. Yes, the peace of God which passes understanding. One of the fruit of my spirit is peace. Lord, I let peace rise from within. Thank you, Lord, you set me free from all my sin. I forget not all your benefits. Because why? You heal all my diseases. You've forgiven all of my sin. Oh, I'm so pleased. I'm so happy, Lord. See, that's faith. Faith puts words to its beliefs. Because that's one and the same. My belief. When I hook my mouth up with what I believe, things begin to change in my life. You say, well, how long is it going to take until it changes? Amen. We pray until, right? We believe until. We keep saying the same thing. That's what he's saying. Are you saying the same thing that I said? See, a lot of times we get ourselves going. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've ever done that, but we get all excited. We come to church. We hear a nice message like Pastor Doug speaks. Hallelujah. And we hook our mouth up with what we believe in our heart and we get all excited. I'm healed by his stripes. And we walk down the street and we got two blocks and we saw Sister So-and-so. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just not feeling good. I can't hardly walk. I mean, I'm out of breath. And we start talking what we got our mind back on our troubles. And we said, oh. So that's the purpose, see, of beginning to say the same thing. It's part of renewing our mind, and it's part of speaking what we really believe in our heart and what we want to come to pass. Because, yeah, we get what we believe, but not really. We get what we say, the Bible says. Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall what say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt where in his heart. Now you say, well, what do I do if I'm having doubts in my head? I go back to speaking what's in my heart. I keep speaking the same thing. I find me two or three or four or five scriptures, and I say them over and over and over. Why? It's part of renewing my mind and keeping my mind on him who is my perfect peace. Who will bring to pass what I say because I've chosen to believe it with my heart. Yes, God said it. I believe it. That settles it for me. That's what I say. That's what I'm going to have. We have to become determined. Sometimes we got to make a determination. Oh, man, that's not too popular in the world today, is it? Being determined. I'm telling you, it's kind of like that discipline. You know, we don't believe that we should be disciplined in ourselves and what we say. And what? Bridling our tongue. He said, this is pure religion. When we can bridle our tongue, it's pure, it's holy. You know, we talked about it a little bit, but when they were back in Numbers, well, I'll just share this, but we'll maybe look at that next time. But back in Numbers, when the spies went out, Moses sent them out to spy out the land to see what it was. He wanted a report, yes. And they needed to say, hey, guess what? There's giants in the land. Those are the facts. But what was the truth? God had said, I have given you the land. There was only two spies that said, hey, shh, quiet, don't say that. Stop, wait a minute. They said, oh, we're in, you know, they added to what they saw. They begin to get their thinking wrong. They begin to look at the natural. And see, that's where our battle is. The Bible says we fight. 1 Timothy 6:12. What do we fight? The good fight of faith. What's the devil after? He's after the word of God in you, which brought faith to you, which gave you your beliefs. He's trying to get you to look at something else, just like he did Adam and Eve when they started looking. Oh, well, maybe, just maybe you could be greater than God, or as at least as good. Why don't you find out and see? No, we choose the word of God. See, our body, the devil comes to lie, steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to trick us into believing. See, he can't even just put some on you. He's got to get you to believe it. Bring you a lie, right, sister? You know, maybe it's worse than what the doctor said. And you get to thinking on the wrong thing. And sometimes we look up every little word and we say, oh, I must have this, I must have that. It said, these are the symptoms. I can feel them coming on. But we're to say, no, I believe there's a healing coming to me. I believe God's working in me because he said by his stripes I was healed. Anyway, I'm going to stop right there for right now. And we'll get back to it again. I know we're pretty full. We've got a lot of scriptures, but we've got to fight. We've got to decide. We've got to bridle our words and watch what we say. Think about what you're saying. Am I agreeing with God? Am I saying the same thing? That's what he said. Hold fast to saying the same thing that God has said about you. If we can do that and we can realize that, we're going to see change in our life. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care. Even if Pastor Doug tells you it ain't going to work for you, you say, no, God said it. That's what I say. I'm agreeing with God. You get with him. Sometimes you got to just forget what everybody else said. If God has given you that word, if God has given you that scripture, you stand. You stand on it. Hey, he hasn't given me the spirit of fear, but of what power, love, and a sound mind, and I'm telling you that's where I'm going.